All right, Lord, we just praise you and we glorify you. Thank you, Lord, for everybody that shows up tonight. Lord, lead us and guide us into what you want us to talk about tonight. Let it be an awesome experience for everybody. And we praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers for each other. Thank you, Lord, for the things that I know that you're doing. And I praise you for that. And I thank you, Lord, for the worldwide bringing down of the deep state. And I praise you for that, Father, that we're going to have at least a relative peace in the first little bit of the tribulation. We praise you for that. Thank you, Lord, for this great time coming upon us, because many people are coming into the kingdom. We're going to come into the kingdom. And Lord, we just praise you. We glorify you for what you're doing and what you're going to do. There's not much time, Father God, for people to repent, get right, when these terrible catastrophes start, and plagues and all the things that have been lined up to bring people out of the apostate churches. And Father, we praise you for that. We thank you, Lord, that your people are going to be ready to bring them into the kingdom in a mighty way. Lord, let us give us all great faith, bold faith. And Lord, this is a time that we shouldn't be distracted at all, that we should be running after you with all of our hearts, our minds, and our souls. Lord, we should just everything, lay it all on the altar for you, Lord, and come to you. And Father God, place it in us to, when we do repent of the things that have distracted us, that we don't go back into that area again. And I thank you, Father, for doing that for myself and everybody else that wants that. And I thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. And Lord, I don't know what this weird weather we've got going today is, but I command it to go out of here in Jesus' name. We take dominion over it and command it to cease what it's doing in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, anybody got any prayer requests? All right, Obi.
We got a testimony. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
I had a, when we were cutting wood with our papa, I found a piece of wood that's shaped like a seven, and it's a testimony because I'm actually 7 years old when I found this, and here it is.
All right, yeah, that's a big old seven. Yeah.
And Elisha said, I want my number. And I was like, oh boy, he's a number four. This is going to be a little tricky. Are you going to tell it? Okay, you tell it.
Okay. All right, let's hear it.
When I was putting with my papa was going to find a number four for me. When then papa found it for me. Here it is.
Oh,
so
looky there.
We didn't find
awesome.
Number four for Elisha?
Yeah.
And he was disappointed. Then, I don't know if this is right or not for you guys. But then the next couple of days, my dad came over and he's like, Elisha, look what I found, your number. So he was so excited. So I was like, man, finding a four, like, I don't know the chances
of
that.
I'm telling you, that's pretty neat.
Thank you, Lord.
That's pretty neat. All right. Now, when you get to be about 10 or 11 years old, you remember that. Amen. That's good, boys. Glory to God. Wonder if I could find one with two sevens in it. No? Okay. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, he is. He's so awesome. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be cool if you could find one of those, Benita. That would be pretty neat if you could do that. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request or a testimony? Yeah, Benita.
Yes, some good friends of ours that live in Alabama are coming up here, and he's had some issues in the past with his stomach, and she just sent me a message today saying that they think pretty sure that he's got cancer, some kind of cancer. I don't remember the name of it, but it's some kind of rare cancer, and it's not a bad one, it's a good one. I don't know all that. So I just sent her a message. And I said, no, he doesn't. So I just want to pray for him and just bind that cancer up. And there is no such thing, Lord. It's just not even in there. And we're just gonna, like you laid your hands on my daughter's dash, we're laying our hands on Barry and we're just commanding that out of him right now. It's not there, not allowed to be there. He's been such a blessing to our family, and we just curse that infirmity out of him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We command that cancer to go from. I don't care what you call yourself. You ain't good, that's for sure. You got to go in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
It's gone. All right, Missy.
Well, these are just kind of little things, but it's like, if he'll, Lord will grant your requests on the little things, how much more like the big things, the really important things, Anyway, long story short, twice here recently, once today and one the other week, I wanted to cook on the grill, and I heard thunder the other week after I had turned it on and heated up. Did it up, and I'm like, no. And I looked at my phone, and like I said, it was going to rain 15 minutes. I'm like, no, it's not, And it didn't even come anywhere near as quick as that. I got my food cooked and everything, and it didn't start raining till about 15 minutes later. And then today, that it rained some, but I didn't get caught out in it, and it wasn't enough to cool the grill down. So anyway, thank you, Lord, for doing that. And then I wanted a citrus juicer, just a hand one. And Merle and I were at Walmart yesterday, and I was looking for one, and they had just like these ones where you put a lime or a lemon in between it, and you clamp it together and squeeze it. And I'm like, no, I don't want that. And you can twist it, And I was looking, I didn't see anything, and they didn't. Merle asked a guy, and he looked in his phone, one of the employees, and the only thing that he said that they had was that. And I was looking, and all of a sudden I saw this one. It was the only one. It was like kind of out of place or whatever. And I'm like, I said, thank you, Lord. I said, he does that for me a lot. I get the last one. I want something and I find the last one. And so I'm like thinking in my mind, this is like $5, I'm thinking it's on clearance or whatever, maybe, but I'm thinking it's $5, And so we got up there to pay for it because it didn't know how much it was. And I said, Demar, how much do you think it is? He says, $8.99. I said, I think it's $5. Well, it was $5.44. It's like, thank you, Lord. Just the little things, So praise you, Lord, that you answer all our prayers, Lord, when we ask and believe we have received. And we thank you. Praise you, Lord. Amen. There was something else that had happened, and I can't remember what it was that I forgot to share with you last week. So, Lord, remind me of what that was. It seemed like there was something else that I had forgotten, but thank you, Lord, for reminding me.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for giving her her mind back in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Oh, I'm sorry. What did I say? Giving her memory back about that particular item. Okay, thank you for correcting me. Sometimes we fail in our talk, don't we? Go ahead, Theo or Lana. Amen.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Lana.
Can I share a testimony?
Sure.
So, when we were in Missouri, we went to Kansas City and picked up some silverware or flatware or whatever you call it. And when we got home, we discovered that the edges of the flatware was very sharp. It cut into the palms of our hands, so we needed to return it. But the store that we bought it from was in, the nearest one was like in Nashville. And so anyways, I made a phone call to that store and I said, hey, we need to return this silverware. We don't like the way it's, we don't like it. And the lady immediately said, oh, we have a policy about returning used items. We can't help you. I'm sorry. Call customer service. And so I ended the call right there. And immediately my mind was like, oh my goodness. The lady assumed I didn't even, you know, the silverware is on my table, all packaged up. And I just, oh my goodness, I was fuming in my mind. I was like, seriously? But I immediately called customer service. And while I was on hold, my mind was still spinning with all the things that I would tell her and defend myself, but she made such an assumption and da da da. And then I thought, no. And that probably went on for about 30 seconds. And then I was like, no, how am I supposed to fight this? There is no way I'm going to bring such an argument to the table. And so instead, I did a U-turn in my mind and I started, I repented for, you know, allowing my flesh to get ahead of me. And I just started praying and asking the Lord for favor and asking the Lord to put this whole situation in our favor so that we could return this silverware. And I sent the angels forth to work on the hearts and minds of whoever was going to help me on the phone so that they would be set up in favor of me. And when the representative came on the line and I simply told her that we needed to return this silverware and we would prefer to mail it in so we don't have to make the long drive. Within a few minutes, she had emailed me shipping labels free of charge and they are expecting my silverware back. With no problem. She didn't ask any questions. She didn't even ask what was wrong with it or whether I had used it. And I thought, Lord, now this is how things are done properly in the kingdom. And I give them all the glory that I didn't have to go out there and put my flesh on the flesh out there and tell them what just what I thought of them making assumptions about what I had done or didn't do with my flatware. So glory to God.
Oh, boy. Thank you, Lord, for cooling us now before it's too late. Praise you, Father. Glory be to God. Oh, I've done that too. Yeah, the trials to overcome. All right, anyone else? Y'all want to hear a good song? Okay, we got one lined up here. One of my favorite guys. Wow, how many things have I got going here? You always find it out at the wrong time.
Mother, Lord, bring me awake, take me up. My beloved, bring me awake, 'cause I wanna feel the light on my face. There's a soul coming up in my soul, Lord, in my soul. There's a soul coming up in my soul, Lord, in my soul. My beloved, bring me away. Take me up to your resurrection place. My beloved, bring me away, 'cause I wanna feel your light on my face. Well, is this soul?
Did y'all see the big crowd that was there? Golly, there's a bunch of folks there at that little thing. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, I was just wondering where that was. I was seeing the crowd of people, and I was going, man, that's a lot of people leaving.
Yeah.
Like, it's today's day, you know, to listen to such music, to listen to such worship.
Yeah, oh, Crowder draws a good crowd. Crowder draws a good crowd. That's pretty good poetic talk there, wasn't it? All right. Anybody else? All right. What y'all want to talk about tonight? Ah. Anybody got anything they want to talk about? We'll talk about a zebra. Yeah, Pat.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I wanted to just show a little graphic. Shows about some things that the Lord has been teaching me.
Okay.
Can I share a screen?
Sure. Just a minute. Let me get you fixed up here. I think I already fixed that up, but let me make sure. Yeah, you can go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I don't know how this started, but the Lord led me into studying, I guess, authority and dominion. I got stuck in the first chapter of Genesis there, where God created, when he created us, he created us with and gave us dominion over the earth. And so I went down a path and was, and I happened to see this presentation by this person, and he was explaining jurisdictions or levels. The world calls it, or one term is jurisdictions. Another term would be dominions. A subset or a picture of that would be kingdoms, but it all has to do with the same principle. And he explained it in the using the term jurisdictions. And I went down that path because and once I did that, I realized some things about how this world is functioning and how it's supposed to function, and how the heavenly realm functions in relationship to that, etc. So what I wanted to do is show you this graphic, and what this graphic and what is illustrated in this graphic is kind of how the earth or the world is put together. Matter of fact, let me see if I can, how do I go about sharing, Michael?
Go down there.
What am I sharing?
Well, you are sharing, but you're not sharing the screen.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I'm sharing the screen. I'm sorry.
Okay, go down there at the bottom where it says share screen and hit share screen. And when you get to share screen, you have two boxes there that says
share screen. Here we go. Host disabled participant screen sharing is the pop-up that I just got.
It says what?
Host disabled participant screen sharing.
Mine says one participant can share at a time. Okay, let's see how that works. Now try it.
Let's go desktop. Share. Let's see where we're at here. Open system preferences. Give me a break.
No. Just hit share screen.
I did.
Okay.
I push share screen at the bottom. It says desktop. Gives me a various different whiteboard, Xorg calendar. So I'm assuming I want to share. Click share. And now it says open system preferences for Zoom. Oh boy. Quit and reopen. Getting into a hole.
I think, Pat, if you're not showing like a video or something like that, you don't have to click on those. I think you just share your screen and just pick whatever screen it is that you have open your graph on.
Yeah. Do that, and you should have two circles there that you need to do too. It's talking about your share audio and video. Something like that.
Share sound.
Yep.
All right, let me try that. To share your computer audio, please install the Zoom audio device. Give me a break. All right, let me.
No, you don't have to. Okay, there you go.
I'm there?
Yeah, I see something there. It looks like a box inside a box inside a box inside a box.
Yeah. Let me. Oh, man. Okay. Oh, this is pathetic. Right, did I go out of it now?
Yeah. Are you on your telephone or are you on your laptop?
No, I'm on my computer, my laptop.
Pat, I think if you open up that document that you want to share, open that up fully on your screen first.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then it'll give you an option when you go to share your screen. It gives your screen like numbers or whatever.
Okay.
I share the screen.
Am I sharing now?
No.
Okay.
You'll see it on yours too.
Right.
Once you share a screen, we'll disappear and your screen will show up.
Okay. Share. How about that?
Yeah, there you go.
That's it?
That's good. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that was difficult.
You should be able to see it on your screen as well.
I do.
Okay.
I was just trying to expand it, but probably I'll just let it go at that. So, what this guy explained is that the Lord led him through a process as well, and his was more of a process of going through the courts, regarding a divorce and various other different things, and the Lord led him into this. But the thing I wanted to show is, and I was thinking about this today on the way to work, but this is kind of a picture of the jurisdictions that are in existence now in the world, in the earth. And he explained the jurisdictions. He said, basically, we as individuals are, say, at the lowest level of jurisdiction. We are at, in a certain level of, authority. He said, he described that basically the jurisdictions as they, let's just say, as they are laid out. You say you have a company, which he shows here is like Walmart. And that store at Walmart is in a city. And of course, this is in the United States, and it happens to be within the city of Detroit. And so Walmart is under, that Walmart store is under the jurisdiction of the city of Detroit. And the city of Detroit, or again, this is a general term, a general principle, it's every city, but Detroit is under the jurisdiction of the state of Michigan. And therefore, Detroit, even though it is autonomous and it functions more or less on its own, it's still limited and governed by the jurisdiction of the state. And the state is governed, is an autonomous structure, but it is also subservient or under the jurisdiction of the United States. And the United States, and then this is where the jurisdiction seems to get a little bit hazy, because there is a jurisdiction higher than the United States, higher than the nations. In other words, you have a city, you have a state, which is a level of jurisdiction. You have a nation, which the states are subservient to that jurisdiction on the federal level. And then up above nations, the nations of the earth, what do you have? And so this is where it gets hazy, because below this level, we tend to think of jurisdictions as more or less in terms of boundaries, or like city centers or governing. In other words, we look at, say, the jurisdiction of Detroit being established by, or a city being established by the city limits. And so that physical boundary of the city limits establishes the jurisdiction of that city. And we tend to think of a state in this country as the boundaries of that, the perimeter around that state, basically establish the jurisdictions, the limits of the jurisdictions. And likewise, the country, the United States, on the federal level. However, that assumption is actually reversed. And that is, boundaries, perceived boundaries around a city or a state or a nation, the perceived boundaries do not determine the jurisdiction. The jurisdiction actually created the boundaries. And what I mean by that is that jurisdictions or these levels of dominion are created not by physical boundaries. They're created by agreements. People agreeing together. In other words, if I was to get in an airplane and fly across the northern border, between the United States and Canada, at some point, I would be crossing over the border from the United States jurisdiction over into the Canadian jurisdiction. However, if I look down on the ground, you wouldn't see any line going across there, because there is no line. There's no physical boundary. It's a boundary that was created by agreement, by negotiation or agreement. It is a boundary, a limitation of spiritual essence, not physical essence. Someplace along our history, who knows when, the American government and the Canadian government's representatives of some form got together and said, this is the line. On this line here, over here, this is America, and over there, it's Canada. It was formed by agreement. And that, in understanding these jurisdictions, that's one of the most important things to understand, is that these jurisdictions are formed by agreement. And there is a higher higher jurisdiction than that is in existence over nations. And it's described here in the graphic there. You notice that there are two United States. So basically ignore that for right now. But right now, just think about it, is that above the nations, there is another jurisdiction. And that jurisdiction is called the law merchant, or mercantile law. It's the law of merchants. And it gets hard to perceive these jurisdictions as soon as you go above the national or the country, individual country level, because there are no, shall we say, physical national borders that govern, that tend to correlate with that jurisdiction. It is only spiritual. The jurisdiction of law merchant is subservient to common law. And then above that common law, and these common law and law merchant are a set of agreements, whether verbal or spiritual, but they're a set of agreements based upon agreements of how people interact. Merchant law is based on a set of agreements whereby the world traded in commerce with other people around the world. And it is that jurisdiction, so to speak, or influence is older than the United States. It's older than the nations. It's been in existence back before Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, way back. It has been in existence and in development, shall we say, for long before the governments of the world had functioned. So this jurisdiction, then there is a higher jurisdiction, and that is the jurisdiction of the law of God, of the heavenlies. The thing that I have kind of settled on and learned about is that, number one, jurisdictions are established by a code or a package, spiritual package of agreement. It's done by agreement. And how you navigate between the jurisdictions is done by agreement and by legal agreement, shall we say. Let me give you a quick example of how it, and this is something that it's good to at least keep this picture in mind, because it allows you to apply it in various different applications. The little individual you see there in the middle of the screen, I'm trying to get rid of all do you see this toolbar across the top on that graphic? You do? How do I get rid of that? Can I move it?
Hit the big box metal.
There we go. It's close enough.
Okay.
So this little individual is calling me. I went to Walmart one day and decided I wanted to get a job. And so they hired me, told me all the rules and regulations for the Walmart. And they put me in the auto department, working under the auto department manager. That auto department manager is under the jurisdiction of the general store Walmart manager. And so I'm working in that realm there in the department, and the manager of the department comes to me and says, look, I would like you to come in tonight at 2 o'clock. We're working tonight and we're loading trucks, for a Walmart's, we're shipping stuff to another store. I said, okay. And as I went to work at night, I noticed that we were unloading stock out of the back of the store and putting it in an unmarked truck. And I noticed that after doing this for a few months, I started to get the feeling that maybe something nefarious is going on here. Maybe I'm in the midst of helping somebody rob the store. So I went to the manager of the department manager. I said, listen, I've got to I've got to talk to the manager of the store and say, you know, because I'm working at nights at 2 o'clock, I would, you know, I'm going to make an excuse and say I want a raise for doing work at, you know, at night like that from 2 o'clock in the morning. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, if this guy is doing something evil, I can talk to the department store manager. I can talk to the manager of the store, and he's not going to like that. He's going to, you know, encourage me not to do that or make an excuse or something like that. And if he does that, my suspicions are going to be correct, and this guy is probably doing something nefarious, stealing materials. And that would be right. If he was doing something illegal, I would expect to see that type of response. And that would be, what we'd expect in normal procedure. But unbeknownst to me, this department store manager went to the general store manager and he said, listen, I found out that you have certain illegal photos and whatnot on your laptop computer, and I'm going to make it known to your, I'm going to make it known to your family and to the police if you don't cooperate with me. And therefore, we are in the process of stealing material out of your store every night. And if you cooperate with us, we won't report this activity and we'll give you a cut of the profits. Now, what that department store meant, and so that general store manager agreed because he was fearful about being exposed, and so he went along with it. And so therefore, when I went to this department store the department store manager and said, listen, I'm going to have to report to the general store manager and say, you know, I need a raise because I'm working these nighttime hours and everything. That department store manager is going to say, go ahead and talk to him. It's all right. The department store manager knows that he has something over on the general store manager, which is higher in his authority, yet he knows that this guy's going to cover for him. Does that make sense? So the general store manager, even though he is higher in authority, or he's higher in the appearance of authority, the lower appearance authority individual, the auto parts department manager, he has usurped the authority of the general store manager. And he's done it by stealth, deception, and whatever else. And he's bribed that one in the higher authority. And when he did that, he usurped or took the authority from that general store manager. So the thing that I don't want to get into a big thing like I probably already have, but that is the very principle that Satan used with Eve in the garden to usurp that authority from mankind, because Adam went along with it and relinquished his authority. And now, and so that's what happened in the garden, and that's what happened in the when mankind lost its authority. And I'm just going to let that set at that point. What that same process that I just went through there has taken place in the United States of America some 200 years ago, maybe more. And that's why in this graphic, there's two United States of America, because one is the United States of America, the Republic, which is governed by our Constitution. And the other is a usurped United States, which has been usurped by the, I'm going to say, just for ease of terms, the deep state, financial banking institutions of the world. And they through agreements, again, all jurisdictions are made and created and established through agreements. Just like this department store manager went to the general store manager and he made an agreement. Obviously, it was a forced agreement, but agreement nonetheless. And in doing so, created a jurisdiction over him. This is happening in the United States right now. And that's why we're not seeing, and quite frankly, in the world right now, that's why we're not seeing certain results, or we're seeing results in our government or activities in our government, which would imply that those people that are in control are not being influenced or controlled by our Constitution, or limited by our Constitution or the laws of the land. They appear to ignore the Constitution and the laws of the land, and they're doing things the way they want to do it, much to our chagrin, as we're watching being played out. And that's because they're not functioning in the jurisdiction of the Constitution, Constitutional Republic of the United States. They're functioning in a higher jurisdiction, in the realm of law merchant, the merchant law of the world, the law of buying and selling and trading. So I may have spit out a lot more than I wanted to just present the concept for us to think about. And I'm gonna leave on this, this presentation type of thing, or what I'm saying here, by just pointing out a fact. It's important that we learn how to navigate between the jurisdictions. Jesus functioned in the jurisdiction of this world, of this earth, you might say, of the normal jurisdiction, the normal way things were done. When he had Judas hold the bag, he was the one that held all the finances and, you know, what they received, they gave, they bought out, whatever they needed. But there were times when the Lord removed himself from that jurisdiction and took advantage of or utilized the higher spiritual jurisdiction when he told the disciples to feed the 5,000 one time and the 7,000 another time. He went above that jurisdiction into the heavenly spiritual jurisdiction and applied and took advantage or fed, provided the provision from that jurisdiction. And then I guess the point that I was going to, that I was going to finish on, and that is the very point of Colossians, the scripture, Colossians 1. The 1:11, 1:12, 1:13, that Paul's praying for us to be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, give thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power or the authority structure or the domain, the dominion of darkness. That's this earthly dominion that Satan rules in or influences in, that domain of darkness, and he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, that he's placed us in Christ, sitting at the right hand of God, as high as you can get in spiritual jurisdiction for mankind to get in Jesus. He's placed us at the top. And so I just want to kick that out. This thing has been just, boiling within me for the last couple months. And I just see that this is, there's so many connections with this. When Jesus in Matthew 18, Jesus kind of pointed to that. He was kind of giving us a picture of that. I'm going to flip over there just to he says in verse 15, he's given us a tool to use, which is showing us how to move through the jurisdictions. Sorry. If thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. In other words, you go directly to that, your brother, and you deal with him in your level of jurisdiction. This is kind of a picture of jurisdictions. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established, moving up a level in authority and applying to a higher jurisdiction, shall we say. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church, taking it up one level higher. Let them, and if he neglect to hear the church, let him be to them as a heathen man and a publican. So what Jesus, and I think we've learned over the past years here, is that it's absolutely essential that we obey these processes of going between the of addressing or shifting from one jurisdiction or one level of authority to the next. So anyway, I'm probably getting too everybody's eyes may be starting to spin on me here, you know. So I hope I am not running this thing in the dirt, so to speak. But anyway, I just wanted to share that, just if nothing more, just as a awareness raiser, as far as these levels of jurisdictions and how they, you know, how they affect us and how we can navigate in between them if necessary. Anyway, that's all I wanted to share, Michael. I don't know how I unshare now.
Hit your share screen thing again.
I'm trying to get back to. Oh, here we are. Stop share. There we go.
Yeah, there you go. You got it.
I did it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Pat. That was some good information. Yeah. Anybody got any questions for Pat? Anybody got any answers? Okay. All right. Has anybody else got something they'd like to share? How many of you have heard that your faith can create things? Yeah, well, after learning about quantum faith, faith doesn't create anything. But what it does, it calls forth a manifestation that shifts its location from invisible to visible. You remember how quantum faith works. There's what faith does, it moves it from potentiality to actuality. Remember how you could see the subatomic particles, the quark thing would be a cloud, and then as you looked at it, it will go down to one deal, one little pixel, or whatever you call it, a little thing. And it would determine on how you were thinking would do whatever it is that you had in your thoughts. In other words, you could possibly create, not create, but change things, I guess is the better way to say it. That's why that it's nothing impossible with God. You can change things. You can change the circumstances in your life. If you're sick, you can change that by confessing what the Word of God says. That's not creating anything. That's just changing the circumstance. And that's how we walk in faith. We change circumstances. When you confess the Word of God, you're changing circumstances in your life and the people around you. How many of you know you can do it long distance? You can do it long distance. You can confess that my neighbor down here, Harvey, is healed in Jesus' name. I command him to be healed. I confess the Word of God says if two of you agree together, you're going to get what you say. And if me and Jesus agree together that Harvey's healed, guess what? Harvey's healed, and he's going to come into the kingdom because we also ask that he draw him into the kingdom as well. And that's what I'm saying. Faith is what your confession is. And that's why I like to talk about, not tonight, but I'm talking about mostly on the Bible studies, is confessing the Word of God in your life will change everything around you if you want it to. Your circumstances that you're in can be changed by what you confess. We're confessing some things that are happening. Good gracious. It's awesome, the things that are going on. Nothing is impossible to God. Remember that. Nothing is impossible. We limit our belief systems by our little boxed mind of what we think and rather than what the Word of God says. Those negative thoughts keep you from getting outside the box of God. Or the box of the world, I should say. I'm sorry. But we should be focused on what God says. And when you focus your confessions on God and you don't confess anything negative, nothing negative, everything positive toward the Word of God, you're going to walk in victory. We are going to walk in victory when we learn to do that. So I just want to throw that out there. I'd like to get, if nobody else has got anything, I'd like to get back into Proverbs chapter 2. I believe it is. And verse 22, is that right? Well, I don't know if we got down there. I'm going to start 2 and 1. Because I don't know if we got that far or not, did we? Has anybody got it marked? You do, Pat? What is it?
Sorry, I'm looking. I had it. Yeah. I have to look up the topic here. But yes, I'll.
It's Proverbs 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
And 4:2. Yeah, 4:2.
I thought we got through chapter 2.
Yeah, I think we started out. We started, stopped at the end of chapter 1. We're starting on chapter 2. We'll do that anyway. So I'll go ahead and read. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and lay up my commandments with thee, so as to incline, thine ear unto wisdom. Who's wisdom? That's Jesus. And apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou cry after discernment and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seek her as silver and search for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Finally got a period at the end of the sentence. So, what's he talking about here? My son, if thou wilt receive my words, who's talking? And lay up my commandments with thee. Who is wisdom? Y'all wake up out there, for goodness sake.
Jesus.
Amen. Amen. So as to incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. So how do we understand the commandments and the wisdom that Jesus has? By what? Yeah, Andrew.
Well, if you're going to look at the time when they wrote this, it would be by law, but today the commandments would be in accordance to, I believe, 1 John 5 and 3, for this is the love of God that we keep his commandments. So if you're going to have these commandments come to thee, it's going to be in that first fruit of the Holy Spirit where love is. And it actually, love is a combination of all the other fruits into that love, because you need faith, that work of love. And of course you want the truth to love. Because we don't want to love some, we don't want to love philosophy as it's written over there in something that would spoil you in Colossians chapter 2. So, you know, there's the philosophy is the love of wisdom, and it's agape, love of wisdom and knowledge, but that's the knowledge of man. So we want the commandments. We want the commandments of God to manifest in the fruit that we attain within our hearts, that it's written there. It's not written with ink, and it's not written on stone. It's written upon hearts of flesh with the Spirit of God. And that's how you get the Galatia 2:20. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. So this living in you is right back there. In him was life, and this life is the light of men. So it's not circular reason. He's just going through a lot of different areas there where his commandment is and his word is. You know, we have to remember that living is the word of God, and active in him we live. Every one of these verses will have life in them, or the word in them, which is the beginning of John. The word goes to the life, and it goes to the light, and then the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness apprehends it not, because they don't have the heart for it. They need to be called to have this heart. So the commandments here are according to this love. And a commandment that's within your heart is going to manifest. And you're not going to come against it. This is the fruit of the Holy Spirit that's in you, where this epistle known and read by all. And if a person that doesn't have this in his epistle on his page per se, that's written upon his heart, then he is not going to have a circumcised heart of this portion of flesh off of him. And that's usually where an argument starts. And, you know, it comes the same for the variation of all these 40,000 different different denominations or divisions of the church, this is what attacks your page or epistle. What's written on your paper, he's comparing you to an epistle, a letter, and that letter is your heart. And this is what happens when you meet up with, let's say, someone who needs to have something that's the flesh removed from them, and it's a teaching, and it's a prophecy, you know, like the physical temple versus the spiritual temple. You know, Jesus went, when he came to Jerusalem, triumphantly on his, them singing Hosanna, the first thing he did in the book of Luke is he went into that temple. And he started trying to cleanse the temple. And he was trying to cleanse the physical temple. And of course, the rulers didn't like what he was doing, but he was doing miracles at the same time. He was doing this. And, if anyone's supposed to clean God's temple, it's supposed to be the man-child of the time. And he's going to teach on this first and actually show forth it. Do it, you know. And we all have that bit of light in our temple. We all have that table set in the presence of our enemy, which has lots of bread on it that's down from heaven. And we have the Lord leading us in this light and in this good food that we have. So it involves a lot, that word commands. And we certainly can know it, but we want to be led by this word. That first phrase there about the word there is very important. For no word of God shall be void of power. Jesus is being tempted. A man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Living is the word of God and active. In him we live, move, and have our being. Jesus is the name called the word of God. We're supposed to be abiding in that name. And the incorruptible word which liveth and abideth. So there's quite a few. Peter agreed, Paul agreed, Matthew agreed, Luke agreed. So there's quite a bit in this word of God, you know. So the word within you, the living word in you. You want the fruit. You want it, not just being able to comprehend, but to express it in such a means that you can't leave it anymore. You can't vacate it because it's part of you. It's your living existence. It's something where you know even God will. When you're witnessing to someone, God will just take over and say, you have to be silent now. Because this person that is being ornate against you is cursing themselves. So, you want the best for everyone. You want the best for everyone around you. You want the best for people. God gives you that that desire to share God's love. And there's these two types of Christians, legislative Christians and then called Christians. And the called Christians will increase in one way to have their calling and election sure. And the legislative Christians will increase in another way, and they'll just be a bunch of law people. And they'll be going down the wrong path. So, praise and glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. Go ahead, Julie.
I've kind of forgotten what I was thinking, what I was going to say. Thanks, Andrew. I was listening to you. Michael, were you asking what on verse 2, what that is, or what were you asking?
Let's see.
You got lost a little.
Well, yeah, I was asking you what was wisdom, and then wanted to just get things started and apply thy heart to understanding. But then going on down to number 4, if thou seek her as silver, search for her as hid treasures. How does that relate?
Okay, well, I'm just looking more at verse 3 where it says, you know, it says, if you cry out for discernment and you lift up your voice for understanding. To me, that's that God did this for me. I mean, I just took him literally. It's like, you made me, you know, you know how I think, you know, what's in my heart, and I need to understand. You know, I asked him for that. They really asked him. It's like, give me understanding. And cause I'm crying out to you for it because I want to understand what you're saying. Cause the parables, you know, the proverbs, the parables, all those things that are written there, they're hard for me. And, but I just was just kind of looking at the words understanding and the words discernment and what the heart is and that kind of thing. And I think it's just all being able to first hear it and then assimilating what you hear. And what do you want to say? Apprehend it, comprehend first and think about it. And then, you know, the more time, I remember David saying, you know, even, I don't remember if this is a Sovereign God book or one of his, or if it was Good News or what it was, but it's like, even I don't understand everything, I have to believe it's true because it's the word of God. And then the understanding comes in time. Because the more you spend time reading it and studying it and meditating on it. So now these things kind of just, you know, stick to me a little bit, what things were saying. It's like, yeah, I want to understand it. I want to understand what God's saying, and there's hidden treasures. And, you know, if we're looking for it, well, Lord, show me what the treasures are. What does it mean to be? What is a treasure? And you know, the one parable that Jesus gave in about, you know, finding a pearl of great price in a field and, you know, finding I think, something else of, you know, a treasure. I can't remember if that was a pearl of great price or treasure. I don't remember how it was worded now. But it's like, you know, wow. It's like, you know, you find something in the kingdom of God and it's like, you know, wow, God just gave me a revelation of something, you know? So I don't know. I just think it's all about, you know, just crying out to God, asking God for these things because it says to, and then he'll start giving you that understanding and making your heart to understand things. Where you can apprehend it and start putting things together. I think that's part of his gift to us. You know, as we start to learn and grow and know who he is and what he's given us and that kind of thing. So anyhow, that's my little bit.
Amen. Yeah. Pat, I'll get right to you. I want to share something that I have been looking at. That lines up exactly with what we're doing in Proverbs here. It's actually in Psalms 119, starting in verse 33, going to 38. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Yes, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of your commandments, for in it I delight. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanities or distractions. I'll just add that. And revive me in your ways. Confirm to your servants your word, which is in order to the fear of you. I'm going to 40 also. Turn away my reproach of which I am afraid, for your ordinances are good. Behold, I have longed after your precept. Revive me in your righteousness. And I believe that verse 3, I think that's verse 3. Hang on just a second. No, verse 4. If thou seek her as silver, search for her as for hid treasures. Means going after him with your whole heart. Because, you know, if you had some gold and you knew it was buried out there somewhere, how many of you know you'd drop everything? Yeah, you'd drop everything and go out there and go, there's a gold bar out there. Bless God, I'm going to go get it. Well, there is a gold bar out there. Guess where it is? Right here in the Word of God. That's where the gold is, the real gold. Keep you alive, keep you healthy, bring people into the kingdom. And that's, I believe that's what he's talking about in verse 4. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, that's with your whole heart, dropping everything and going for it. And I'm going to tell you something, time is getting short. And that's what we need to be doing. We really do. We need to be doing that. Where'd it go? Okay. All right, Pat, go ahead, bro.
So I was, in the first verse there, it says, my son, if thou will receive my word and lay up my commandments with the verse that I thought of, well, not the verse, but there's many verses where God commands us to keep his word. And that word, you know, that idea of keeping something as the idea that something or somebody could try to take it from you. It's keeping it from being taken. And so if that he's saying that if we take his word and lay it up in our heart, that word within us will start working and performing and doing things and working, because it is living. It will work in us. It will do something with us. And as we cooperate with that word in verse 2 and incline our ear unto wisdom and our heart unto understanding, because of that word being in there, our perspective then is shifted. Our eye is then looking at that word as it is doing its thing within us. And it is bringing about understanding, new awareness. And then, as we've learned, that if we take that which is within and we verbalize it and we bring it out through our mouth and we confirm that word, that it also has the power working out through our soul to transform and convince that soul of the rightness of that which we have received in our spirit, and will convince, I guess I'm using the word convince, and that as we see that working in our heart, coming out through our mouth and creating the motivations over of our spirit over our flesh, and our body is starting to be subservient to that word which is in our heart, and we seek her as silver and allow that desire to intensify and continue, God's saying that it eventually ends up in the fear of the Lord, the fear of God's presence and truth, in that word becoming alive in us that I see it as starting with the word, growing up and developing within us, creating that stir within us and our faith by faith, we then cry out and verbalize that and get it out into the air, into prayer, into awareness, into the world, that the end result of that process is the fear of the Lord unleashed in us. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Okay. So as to incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. I'll just give you my little 2 cents worth on that part. Apply thy heart to understanding is, to me, apply is a work thing. Apply thy heart to understanding. You ask the Lord to give me understanding of this particular verse or whatever it is that you're studying on, and help me to understand it as I meditate on it, Lord. Unpeel the onion for me. Show me the revelations in this particular verse or whatever it is that you're looking at. Because he says, so as to incline thine ear unto wisdom. Jesus is wisdom. Lord, help me to understand these revelations. Give me the revelations of this particular. That's the way that I see it. And just for that particular verse, we could go on down and find a lot of other things too. Yeah. Thank you, Pat. Go ahead, Julie.
Something that came to my mind when you were reading in Psalm 119, Michael, was the verses in Joshua. I'm just going to read two of them. Joshua 1, 7, and 8. He says, he's telling Joshua, only be strong and very courageous to observe, to do, according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest have good success whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous and have good success. You shall have good success. It's just like the same thing. It's just, we're not under the law. It's not the law. You know, it's whatever God writes on our heart, but we have to study it to know what the law is for us and what is to do it, to observe to do it. And that's being a doer of a word, not just hearing, yeah. Right? That's what was coming to me as I was reading that. Yeah. So it's meditating on it day and night. And it's renewing our mind. Like, it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So it's all the Word of God. And the more time we spend reading the Word of God and asking God for the understanding, this is just me, that God's the one that's going to do it, It's not like the scripture memory or anything like that. It's although that's good if it helps you, I guess. I'm not saying it's not, but it's just reading it, meditating on it, chewing on it, like David is taught, like the cows, ruminating,
He throws it back up. He's on it again.
Yeah. I want to think on it again, and God will give you more over here, and then he'll give you more over here.
Chew it, yep. Swallow it, and throw it back up, chew on it some more.
I don't know how many stomachs we got.
That's kind of a big one. What I put at the end of that Psalm 119 was John 14:21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me shall be loved by my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Praise God forevermore. Glory be to God. These are good. These are good. All right. Anybody else on what we've already talked about? Yeah, Joe.
I look at it a little bit different. The first two words is very, very important there. My son. Now, what he's speaking, a personal relationship, a family. In other words, if thou will receive my words, in other words, we already talked about that. It's just a confirmation of what we're talking about. He's talking as, I'm Father. We're talking now, personal now. If you climb to my ears, if you lay up my commandments, as thy ears, wisdom, you apply my heart to my understanding. If you heard what I'm saying, if you do what I'm saying, it's me just, it's he talking to his son as in one to one, already talked about it. It's just a confirmation of what he's talking about. It's just very personal. It's a few, two words, my son. Ebel will receive my words. We already talked about it. It's just a confirmation of what you already said. I was just thinking about that.
Amen. That's good thought there, my son. That's pretty personal, isn't it? It's real personal. Yeah, Andrew.
When he says my son, I wonder if that's how you would apply a creative word to what he's making here with the whole sentence that goes through to the end of the, well, it's actually to the end of all the word. But, you know, if you're going to apply that word where it says in Ephesians 2 and 10, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus upon good works, which God afore had prepared that we should walk in them. So all of this is a creative word for us, because God is the word, and he not only is it something that we're looking at as words to itself, but this is the word that's making his son in you. And all these applied words here are part of that creation. Every single component here is what God's speaking to us to create us. And this is the vastness of this son called Jesus. But he's the one keeping us. We have to remember that he's sovereign to make this happen through us, through the grace of God. I'm just making a statement here, not answering any question also, because I don't want to say anything about the ladies here, but there's a son in them too, you know, and so there's a plethora of things here that have to be applied to every person, that's the creative word of God that's making us. But God's sovereign to make it come to happen. You know, Paul asked for an open door for the word of God to go out. You know, Peter was told to go to Cornelius. That was a two-day journey. Wasn't there anyone else he could have witnessed to on the way? But he was told to go and do something. He listened to God and he did it. And a whole family was saved with lots of friends too. So praise and glory to God.
Amen. Amen. All right, anybody else?
That's the passing on of the creation.
That's the what?
The passing on of the creation.
Oh.
That God is using us for by his sovereignty, I would say. Because you can pass things on, and because of the plethora of 40,000 different witnesses, it has to be God who does it, because this is a very serious time we're entering into, and God has to lead you to these people that are going to be saved.
Amen.
it ain't no game. It's a serious aspect. If you can just have the understanding of what happened with brethren of our own overseas there, and that's the seriousness of God and towards His sovereignty for our good, for our good, of course. Amen.
Amen. Anyone else? Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, if you seek Him with your whole heart, you will find Him. Okay. Anybody else on those first five verses? Got any more to add to it? I'm sure there's more there, but I'm just asking. Okay, we'll move on. For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to them that walk in integrity, that He may guard the paths of justice and preserve the ways of His saints. All right, what's he talking about here? For the Lord gives wisdom, we know that. Out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding, yes. He lays up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to them that walk in integrity. What does that mean? Yeah, Pat.
First thing that kind of hit me was in verse 6 there, where it says, the Lord gives wisdom, and out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. His wisdom, I think, is His perspective that we gain not only through His Spirit, but through the Word, through reading the Word and thinking about it, considering. But when it says out of His mouth, that's an indication that there's obviously every word of God came out of His mouth, written, everything written, you know, originated with God's mouth. It came out of His mouth. So I think the thing, though, that I'm thinking is that out of His mouth implies to me more of a personal hearing from God in your heart and allowing Him to give His understanding to what those words mean from His perspective, from His, allowing Him to define the words, even though we read what the definition of that word is in Strong's or a Greek concordance or whatever. But as we ask the Lord to personally give us what He means by that, what is He meaning to convey to our heart related to that scripture, it's more of a personal, I don't know, I'm trying to say personal touch, personal experience, expecting Him to provide that added extra perspective or understanding to that word that I'm reading. And so that's kind of what I get out of verse six. So I'll just let it go with that. It's just kind of a verse six thing that he showed me.
Amen. What does it mean when he says he is a shield to them that walk in integrity? Sound like Psalm 91. That he may guard the paths of justice. What's he talking about? Lord, give us understanding here. Give us some revelations here. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, go ahead, Julie.
I don't know. I think what it is to walk uprightly, to walk in integrity, it's just like you're obeying your conscience. You're doing the things that are morally correct and right because that's who you are. Now, I mean, it's not an effort. It's God's changed you and you know, you wouldn't to walk in an evil way would never even cross your mind, you know, to be disobedient to what, you know, so it's your integrity. You have integrity. You're honest. You're true. You do the right thing. When you make a decision about something, it's, you know, who's it going to benefit? Is it going to benefit me? Is it going to benefit? Put others first or whatever, you know, it's just the new nature we have in Christ because our old nature is evil, you know, just walking in, you know, just so obeying your conscience, I think is the biggest thing, right? That's how I look at it.
Amen. That he may guard the paths of justice and preserve the way of his saints. What's he mean? For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to them that walk in integrity, that he may guard the paths of justice and preserve the way of his saints. Yeah, Missy.
Well, if you walk in integrity, you know, the Lord will guard the paths of justice. In other words, no one will, injustice will be done to you because of you walking in your integrity. He'll guard you from being like wrongfully prosecuted or something like that. And preserve the way of his saints. Well, you know, the way and the path is kind of the same thing. Preserve the way of his saints. He may guard the paths of justice and preserve the way of his saints. I'm just repeating it over and over, trying to get it sinking. But anyway, that's just the first thing that came to me.
That he may guard the paths of justice, that he may guard the paths of justice and preserve the way of his saints. How many of you know that when, go ahead, Pat, I'll let you.
Well, I was thinking that, you know, it's the laying up of that wisdom. He knows that if he's able to get his wisdom within us and and the motivation to walk in accordance with that wisdom, which is integrity, that he knows that with that package or with that environment, he can guard us and preserve our way, because we're walking in his way, his word. And the integrity implies that we have chosen to walk in that way as opposed to our own way. So it's, I think it's the wisdom and the integrity that he is placing into us through his word that he's using to guard our way, so to speak. Or shall we say, assisting in guarding our way. So that's all I have to say.
Amen. Now let's read it real carefully. That he may guard the paths of justice and preserve the way of his saints. Think about that. Go ahead, Benita.
Yeah, that this part always confuses me a little bit, just because, like Misty was saying, you know, we are walking in integrity, then he'll guard us from injustices. But I mean, Jesus went through injustices, even though he was walking in integrity, and so did all the disciples, all of them. There was a lot of injustice. There is today, people walking in integrity are being slandered against, and all kinds of evil things are happening nowadays to people that are walking in integrity. But, I mean, all that being said, you know, I know he works all things together for good, and Paul went to jail unjustly, but he reached a lot of people that way, and there was a lot of good that came out of that. But I guess I'm just all that to say, he's not gonna, we're going to suffer injustice for his name's sake. So how does that all fit together? Is my question, I guess.
Okay. I was having trouble understanding you, but I think everybody else heard you pretty good. Go ahead, Julie.
Vanita, I think you already answered your question when you're talking about, you know, the suffering, you know, like, because they all had to, I mean, look at Jesus. I always try to look at Jesus, what he suffered. He did no wrong. And they were trying to find things wrong all the time. You know, we know he walked in holiness. He walked in righteousness, but he suffered. And he taught us the way about that, you know. So, you know, it's still I guess to me, it's like we have a choice. Like we can be man pleasers, you know, or we can be seeking to please God no matter what. I'm still going to stand on what I know and believe. And if God, if I'm wrong, you know, kind of like the Hebrews and the furnace of fire, you know, they went in there. They weren't going to bow, you know, they were, you know, to me, it's like that's walking in their integrity. They're not going to bow down to the idol that they set up, and if we die, we die, kind of thing, that I'm not going to disobey God. That's kind of how I look at it, Benita. I don't know if that helps you or not.
Yeah, I guess the question is, like he says, he'll keep us from, and not, I can't remember the words, like, he'll, what was the word about justice? Basically,
he preserves the way of his saints. He guards the paths of justice. Well, he's still the righteous judge, you know? He's still the righteous judge no matter what, you know, he judges everything righteously and just. He's, you know, he sees what we don't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. God knows.
Amen. Go ahead, Andrew.
I was looking at this word preserve. Salt is a preservative, and so is sugar, and sugar is sweet. So he wants to preserve your tongue from saying anything wrong, according to James. And we're supposed to be the salt of the earth. Our salt is not supposed to lose its savor, its flavor. And of course, flavor is talked about there in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 as a savor of the Lord. You know, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Things have a savor to it, a smell to them. That your eyes are attached to, and of course this flavor is something you recognize right away. It's a place of discernment even for us, because we tasted what was right and we savored what was right. And these preservatives is, I believe, God in action with us for discernment of things that we know and things that he's already given us. And it preserves us. He's doing it. He's doing it through us. Sometimes we get the idea that we're doing it ourselves, but it really we are, you know. So just let him do it, and that'll be great, you know, that he's preserving us with his word. You know, sometimes I wonder if the thoughts that come into your head, I don't want it to be a mental ascent. I want it to be the word of God. I want to agree with the word of God. I want the power of this word behind his word. I want the power to come out to remind people, to help people, to preserve people. You can speak preservation to a person. You've been already getting this from all the stuff since you started with UVM. He's been preserving you all this time. He's been warning you. He's been exhorting you. He's been giving you comfort. He's been giving you edification, exhortation, consolation. So praise and glory to God.
How do you preserve the word? You give it out. You sow it. You plant it. And that's what I believe he's talking about. Just a simple, my old simple Arkansas way of saying something. Go ahead, Joe.
I was just thinking, looking at the word integrity, it's achieved the meaning of worker integrity. If you look in the dictionary, it's almost completeness or perfection. In other words, You walk in what you know, walk in what you have learned. That's how you grow. That's what I want to say.
I think I understood what he said. Amen. So
that's just the other word for integrity, perfection. Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Well, we're out of time. Look at there. Somebody mark where we are. So we'll get back to it one of these days. I try to do it myself. Okay, has anybody got any prayer requests before we go out? Yeah, Missy.
I've been distracted half the time here because I was sitting here and I heard this noise. I kept hearing this noise. I'm like, what? And here there's water dripping down onto my little desk I have here. But it hasn't dripped that much. And I'm like, we have this beam coming. We have three beams coming across the ceiling. We have a high ceiling here. And there's three little drops, three little spots where it was dripping a little bit. And so I went, when I got a towel, and I laid down there. And since I laid it down there, I only saw it drip once, but it might have dripped more. But anyway, and I'm like, it's raining like crazy here at times. And they're calling for flash flooding and flooding. So in the name of Jesus, I forbid just protect your saints, Lord. And I command that leaking to stop in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I believe that it stopped, but I believe you want me to tell Merle about it and help him to exercise faith and confess the good confession. Lord, be bold and agree with me that that stopped and we are not going to have any more issues with it in Jesus' name.
Amen. I believe it with you, Missy.
That roof is not leaking because there's no space in between the ceiling and the roof. So in the name of Jesus, it's done. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I believe it. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Amen. I just want to give praise and glory to God that the other day we had some storms, real bad storms come through here, and a lot of things were hitting my trailer, and I was listening to praise music and to one of David's teachings, and we had a tree back here next to the trailer that was kind of half dead and half alive, and I heard a big noise and walked outside, and that tree had fell, and it missed my trailer by inches. And my son moved his trailer that was sitting right where it fell several months ago. So I praise the Lord that he put it in my son's heart to move the trailer and that it missed my trailer. So I want to praise the Lord for
praise
for
God.
That.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Amen.
Blessing for all y'all.
See, you were shielded, Cheryl. You were shielded. Glory to God. You deserve this. Thanks. All right. God bless y'all. We'll see you next time. Thursday. What is today? This is Thursday. Okay, we'll see y'all next Tuesday, Lord willing, right? All right, get ready for a shaking. Bye, y'all. Hey, by the way, can y'all read that? Oh, good. It says no distractions, no YouTube. Only Jesus. I got to put that right here. Okay, we'll see y'all. Bless you.